We should probably light this candle.
Yeah, let's light it before we burn all the stuff. We stumble into another week. Jump off down the street into the bar. Anyway, it's not that.
Yeah. We are.
Whoa. The alarm clock.
Well, we gotta wake up. So. Oh, what?
What? What? Stumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Oh. Stumble to the bathroom. Stumble to the living room. Oh yeah, stumble. Anyway, so, yeah, so we're back.
We are back with another, we are right now in the midst of a wicked-ass feature presentation tournament that is all about bumpers and all about, like, intros to movies and things like that.
Been some upsets and drama in the tournament.
It is really neat, but we are taking our time out from the heated battle and the side bets and kickbacks that we're getting from Vegas for the betting that has been blowing up all over it.
Oh, it's become its own. It's taken on a life of its own. This contest, but we can't get away from our roots, which are
movies and not fast forwarding them.
Ugh. Ugh.
And this week, it was Tim's choice, and Tim had decided to repay the debts that I had incurred with the previous Epidote's choice of Backfield Emotion. But
I'm just now thinking about this.
It's almost a toss up.
It's almost a toss up. I might give the edge to the vampire movie that we're going to talk about.
Well, what is the vampire movie?
Cripes, I didn't write down the title.
Project Vampire it is!
Project Vampire. It's got it's basically a vampire movie. So, Project Vampire.
It's not even that. It's as I say in the first line of my notes, it's like a school project. it's like these high school kids were like tasked in their film class for the semester to make a movie, and then that's
I would say it's like a student film, but it was filmed in 92, so it's very, if you go back to late 80s, early 90s, independent filmmakers, and I use that term very loosely with this bunch, they just basically shot everything on video, and usually, in most cases, and this really, I thought it was a function of the tape, but I really think it was the filmmaking itself, the audio is usually not very good. The music's not good. The quality of the image is poor. It, along with everything else, is poor in it. But Project Vampire, shot on a very low budget in the 90s. I said 92. I think I might be wrong on that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's from the 90s. And the reason we played Stumbling there for a minute was because the first thing, and we'll get, I'll circle back in a minute, but the first, like, the opening credits are these three guys in white coats just running, and they seriously, like, use the same shot three, it's not the same shot, they just film, like, three different corners, and the guys come running, shooting out from behind the corner, and the one guy always stumbles and puts his hand down, and it's not that he's really stumbling, he's just doing the same move to emphasize how fast he came around the corner. And it goes on. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings, but it's a really shitty thing. Anyway, that was... It's Project Vampire. It was bought... And the backstory is we went to Trader's Village. We bought a bunch of VHSs for really cheap. This is one of them. We'll probably watch other ones. If you hear any roaring, that's a plane going over particularly close. Anyway, we found these videos at a little flea market village thing, and
it was it was Treasure Village,
Trader's Village.
Oh, Trader's Village. Why do I always say?
You want to make it Treasure Village? I mean, when we know one of those is probably out there somewhere, but Either way, there's a lovely flea market out this way, and it's huge. And we found some videos, and we both took home a pile of them on the cheap. This was one of mine. It felt like I kind of went cold on it. It looked terrible, but it didn't. It looked like it had better. It's one of those cases where the box. If you all are fans of the Found Footage Festival, and have watched their shows and programs, they have a discussion about movies that look the box is all the time been spent on the box and not so much on the video.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those cases. Good graphic design, poor film. It bordered on, not that I have any knowledge of that, but it bordered on qualities of adult films.
Mm-hmm.
Of the same era, I would guess. And it just seemed like, and we'll get into the plot and stuff, but we won't linger. You know, it seemed like everybody was either tired or just didn't care.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of just like, hey, we're boyfriend girlfriend now. Okay. And a lot of like, you know, if we do this, that'll happen. Oh, okay. Or, hey, are you a vampire? Yeah, but you can trust me. Okay. So, people are either very trusting, but like there was a lot of punches and door kick opens that were just like, well, we don't want to have to pay for this door, so don't really kick it open, just kind of open it quickly. And there's a scene in it, and I'm just going to say this now, there's a scene in it where there's ladies in the bathroom, she's dead because she got attacked by a vampire, yada yada. And her boyfriend or whoever at this party is like, hey, this door has been shut for 30 minutes. We got to get this open. And he's like, all right, I'm opening it. And like, he's like doing the motion like, and it's not a very, he just kind of leans into the door and acts like it's really hard to push it open and just kind of opens the door. And I had commented before we were on the air that I've spent more effort opening a bag of chips. And when I say that, I mean like an easy open bag of chips, not like a particularly difficult bag of chips that pops and throws your chips everywhere, like a modern, easy open bag of chips. Anyway, I don't know. My gosh.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
It's bad. Now, we've had worse. I'll say that. We've definitely had worse.
Oh, it's no Shanghai Surprise.
No Shanghai Surprise, no whatever the hell that moral-themed computer theft bank robbery movie thing I had done. That was bad.
Yeah, no, would you say it's like Backfield Emotion?
It was, to a certain extent, this was easier for me to get through than Backfield Emotion, but that might just be me. Although, I don't know, by the end of watching Backfield Motion, I had a certain affinity for it. So, I can't say, you know what, this is worse than Backfield Motion. I'll go ahead. I'll concede.
Yeah.
Not by much, but enough.
Unfortunately, at Trader's Village, we found a lot of other gyms that have a lot more promise, but...
No, you're not kidding. If you guys want to hint at what other things we found, go check us out on Facebook. There's pictures and things.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, if not, we'll share pictures there. But Facebook, Twitter, all that, there'll be a picture coming up. There's a fine one possibly on deck. There's at least two that Mike picked up, and I've got others.
But, yeah, it's like the It's we're right out of the gate into the Trader's Village section of Gonzo Guy's Epidose Dome.
I mean, we basically just restocked the vault.
That's what we did. And we got a fresh batch.
And I'm actually not done loading the vault again. We actually have made quite a bit of progress through the exit our starting supply, and there's always more, but we needed a little refresh. So we loaded up and you know, these were less than a dollar a piece. Some were as little as 15 cents. So you can't beat that. Unfortunately, this one was not a 15-cent one. This one was probably like a 85-cent movie. It probably should have been a 15-cent movie.
Yeah, so...
Haggling over pennies, it's a bad movie.
But again, don't fast forward.
No, you got to watch it. So the nice thing is the box was tempting. Pop it in. You can tell the quality's bad pretty quick. Okay, let's see what's going on here.
So the stumbling part, that was like at the beginning of the movie, right?
That the stumbling is like the opening credit montage thing. Three guys in white coats running for a long period of time.
It started out and it was really long, and I thought it looked like I thought it was like a school project or like a reality show. But the thing that stuck me out on me at the beginning, there's an actor with the name Myron Natwick.
Myron Natwick was actually the head vampire in this film. They do follow the logic that the head vampire controls all yada 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 yada.
All the yadas there.
Yes, he was the main villain, I guess, and I've got some thoughts on that as well.
Yeah.
But in the running part, as it proceeds into the actual film, they're running from a guy driving like a freaking Ford Grand Marquis or something. They're driving my grandpa's car. So they're chasing him down in my grandpa's car, but they're not trying to mow him down. They're just trying to get him to go back. And a couple times the guy goes around the corner, like they separate, which they probably should have done to begin with. And like he immediately runs into a wide open like driveway. And I'm thinking, you're on foot, they're in a car. You might want to like run off into the trees or maybe double back, since a car can't really do that. But I digress. So runners separate. They catch one of them. Catch Professor Frink. And they throw him in the car. And they're like, hey, come back. Aren't you tired of running? Blah, blah, blah. They've stolen some type of syringe. Their leader of their little group apparently has kept it, and so they capture Nerd One, and the other two run off into the night.
Yeah, and that's where that's the start. One guy goes back, and then these other two guys, who we don't know yet that they're vampires, but we eventually find out in the next like 10 minutes.
And the next 10 minutes, you find out that these are damaged scientists. They apparently have a little case of vampirism.
Yeah, so apparently, like, vampirism is like a chemical druggy thingy, or at least they're trying to, like, the main bad guy's trying to extract, like, something from it. I couldn't follow.
They don't do a lot of... There's places in this movie where there's way too much exposition. No, there's not. There's never a spot in here where there's way too much exposition. There's a little bit of exposition for some spots that don't matter, and there's no exposition on some plot parts that would be good to have it. Basically, there's this one vampire guy is synthesizing a vampire virus that he can inject into people and give them treatments, turn them into vampires. He takes said after a bit, though, he's also developed they call it an antidote, but it really is just like a daywalking serum.
Yeah.
And you have to take it every day, so it's not really... An antidote implies you do it once and you're done.
Yeah.
But basically, he figured out a way you can zap your... He lectures, he's a college professor. You can take the serum, and you can be a day-walking vampire. All right, I'll buy it. Okay. And so he's recruiting students at the university to, like, go in there and help him make stuff, and any chance he gets, they kind of dose somebody with the stuff and start turning him into a vampire. They seem to act like they're being selective, but they don't really seem to be all that picky.
And we didn't really know about that until about 40 minutes into the movie.
It takes a while to get into that. You know, there's a syringe. You can put together it's probably some kind of vampire virus, whatever.
They kind of lead up to that, but, like, the one good vampire, like, gets away from this Rob Halford-looking Judas Priest guy who's like the minion grunt.
Like, he's the muscle for the vampire guy.
And with him is, like, some dude in a patch who apparently is, like, the human, like, Igor-type guy.
He's the vampire's Igor. He has something wrong with him where he can't be turned into a vampire, but he's just dead-set loyal to him. So he's driving around, and then he's got Rob Halford knockoff in there, and they don't really bother to tell you why he's there. But anyway, so he's been turned to a vampire. He's got his little daywalking serum if he needs it. They carry like a little, you know, case with them, so if they get caught out during the daytime, they can like duck around a corner and zap themselves. And it even makes their image appear in mirrors and stuff. So it's like a full tilt antidote.
Yeah. So, like, the one good vamp gets away for something, and he runs into some lady, and she just, like, automatically agrees just to go with him wherever.
He falls down, like, in the street.
Yeah.
And so she picks him up. She's, like, a nurse, and she's driving to work. And she sees a guy in the street, and she gets out, and she's like, oh, hey, are you all right? And he's like, no, She's like, let me take you to the hospital. He's like, no hospital. And she's just like, okay. There's no...
I know. There's no, like...
There's no apprehension on her part and no emotion on her part either. But she's just like, okay. And he's like, you know what I could use, though? A back alley blood transfusion.
And she's like, I'm down with it. Let's do it.
And she's like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. And he's like, but I need it. She's like, okay. And so she drives into the parking lot, and she's like, I'll go get my friend, and we'll get you some blood. And she hasn't – there's no vampire note at this point. She just knows his temperature's low and that his heart rate is really low. But again, she's found this man in the street. He's got blood on his clothes, and she's just like, okay, I'll do whatever you say.
I know. So and later on in the movie, this kind of makes me wonder a little bit that maybe he, like – put her under his spell, but he seems like the good guy, so...
I don't think he did. I think they just didn't bother to write a motivation for her. And it seemed like the only person who had the psychic ability was the main vampire.
Okay, alright. Because that was like... She was a little too willing to do all this stuff.
And, they introduce this one character that's there, and he's gone, and he comes back. But they get to the hospital. She goes in.
For some reason, in my notes, I have something called Blando Beardo.
Blando Beardo? I called him Dr. Harassment. Because he comes out, and she's like, I got this guy in the van. He's like, oh, come on. If his pulse rate was that low and it was that cold, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
You know, stop pulling my leg, lady. And meanwhile, she opens the door, and the guy, for whatever reason, has decided to bolt. Even though she had told him she was going to help him. So he bolts. Van's empty. Total mom wagon, by the way. Just like.
Oh, this was early 90s stuff. Down to a T.
This was the Ford. Ford did a minivan in the early 90s that looked like a little. Kind of like a little bread truck. I cannot remember my name of that van. I know as we rented one on vacation.
Caravan? No.
No. Caravan was
Cruiser?
Dodge.
No.
Astro van was Chevy. I do not remember what the name of this van was, but we, one year on vacation, my family rented one.
Ooh.
And it was like, that was like living, because I could lay across like a whole back seat by myself. That did bring back, that warmed me to the movie. And that's sad when the minivan in the background does. So anyway, she gets out, she goes to the mom van, opens the door. I'm going to remember the Astro van? No. Maybe. So she opens the door and there's nobody in there. The guy's like, wah, wah. And he's like, oh, dude, you just, you know, stop picking those homeless guys up, you crazy woman. And cause apparently she does this a lot, and given her reaction, I'd say she probably does. So then he's like, so anyway, you know, let's go out Saturday night out of nowhere. And she's like, oh, I'm working Saturday night. He's like, no, you're not. I already looked at your schedule. That's charming. And then she's like, okay, then. Because she apparently can't stand up for anything. So she's like, okay. And then he, like, kisses her on the forehead. And she's like, ugh, he touched me. He kissed my forehead. And anyway, I named him Dr. Harassment. Because he was very forceful. He was kind of like the don't do this in the sexual harassment training videos. We're going out Saturday, right, Sandy? No, I don't really want to. Oh, yes, you do. You know, but meanwhile, good vampire, whose name, by the way, is Victor. His last name is Hunter, V. Hunter.
Wow. I didn't miss that.
That's all right. There's nothing really. Who cares? So he decides to go to church out of the blue. And so he's in the church.
Oh, yeah. He goes to church a lot. I forgot about that.
He goes to church to, like, talk to the priest who knows he's in conflict, apparently. I don't know. But he's confessing and praying in there. Meanwhile, the Rob Halford guy tries to, like, come up to the church, but he can't get too close because apparently the crucifix and church stuff only works on evil vampires and, I guess, and or weak, kind of weak evil vampires. So, because it doesn't hold, it's not consistent. But anyway, it works on him because he's a dick. So
yeah, just leg lesson, kids. Don't be a dick and you can get into church if you're a vampire.
So, again, you can survive the crucifixes and all that business.
Well, that
that guy's a dick. He's a muscle, so he's a dick, so all the stereotypical crap works on him. Meanwhile, guy's in there praying with the priest. The church says, has painted, and I don't know if they put this on there or what kind of church this is, but it says, yeah, my house is the house of prayer. And I kept thinking was, my house is the house of pancakes.
Pancakes.
So he goes in the house of pancakes. He's praying. And Rob Halford guy tries to get in and can't. Then he runs and hides, like, in a warehouse, I guess.
Oh, well, he also made a pit stop to his dad's, like...
Oh, he went to the fucking grave in the back for no real reason.
No, he wanted to talk to his dad.
Yeah, good for him.
But at the end, and this is what I wrote in my notes, the one thing that stuck out to me is when he was leaving, he said... He said, take care of yourself, and he pats the tombstone and walks away. So I put, he just told the tombstone to take care of yourself. It's like, he's fucking dead. Of course he's taken care of.
No, and again, you know, a lot of times we'd play audio clips from the movie, but this audio on this tape is awful. And it's both because it's, both be, if I can, actually I have one spot marked. So I'll play a little bit of audio at that point, but. The tape itself's in bad shape, so there's a lot of crackling and tracking popping mm-hmm. on it. Shockingly, for a tape that I paid under $1 for, it's not in perfect shape. Anyway, the tape itself, I think the actual magnetic tape is rejecting the film. It's just not, it doesn't want it there. So, yeah, he slaps his dad's headstone.
Take care of yourself!
Take care of yourself.
Dick.
And so they, at this point, the main baddie has kind of been revealed, but his name is Frederick Klaus.
Klaus Tuber from Sinners of Catan fame.
No, that guy's much more evil. So I put down Frederick Klaus, parentheses, Dracula. And so the kicker, the problem I had with the bad guy, and we'll get to... Oh, yeah, and Sandra is the dead-eyed nurse, is what I called her. Because she's just there. My note on this is basically... I'm not really seeing a drawback to the head vampire's plan. He basically is willing to convert almost anybody to a vampire.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then... In addition to the vampire powers of being able to heal yourself and not age, and you know, like, live forever, he gives you a thing so you can go out in the daytime. So I'm kind of thinking, all right, it's not so bad. And then on top of that, he's like has a girlfriend. He's talking about taking vacations. He's looking at old family pictures. Doesn't seem like that bad a dude. He might be more sympathetic than some of the heroes. Anyway, I feel like I would have gotten on board with him.
It was his German accent. That's what did him in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's a baddie. But, I mean, I'm thinking, well, it's not that bad. If you're going to turn people into vampires and you're going to let them walk around in the daytime and you're not choosy, then I don't see the problem. You just have all the problems of human world except everybody wouldn't die. So, eh. Anyway, that's beside the point. I had a moral conflict because I kind of identified with the vampire more. So I have a little note that says zero chemistry.
Yeah, something. I put, like, the lady is more lifeless than a vampire.
Oh,
and that was right after my note, there was, like, very quiet movie, ... and boring.
Yeah. And everybody just kind of delivers their lines like that, you know? They just talk.
And it was just fast driving. There was a lot of driving. It reminded me a lot of Las Vegas Bloodbath.
Now, I will say this, and I have learned from watching films like Las Vegas Bloodbath, and this one, and others. If they spend a lot of time filming driving scenes and, like, the car turns left, the car turns right, the car turns left, then right again, then left, it's a bad movie. It's a bad director. It's a bad writer. They're trying to fill time. At least the driving in freaking Las Vegas Bloodbath is more interesting.
Well, it's because it was in Vegas.
I guess so.
I don't know whether we're here.
I'll tell you what. We're reaching way back in the machine for Las Vegas Bloodbath. It's actually a video one that's on the website, if you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not sure if it's the website or if it's over on our YouTube channel. You'll find it. You just go to Gonzo Guys on YouTube, you'll find it. Anyway, that's a good little movie. That's a terrible, cheap movie, but it's imminently watchable. This is not. So, okay, you got Dead-Eyed Sandra. Kisses her out of nowhere. She's not bothered by it. You got Frederick Klaus, blah, blah, blah. And then I have, like, little arrows and stuff that says, to the Ford minivan. Because that's apparently their vehicle choice. Yeah. Okay, so the vampire serum is called Super Serum. Which I feel like Marvel would have something to say about that. Isn't that what Steve? Wasn't that they inject Steve Rogers?
It's a super soldier serum.
Oh, well, clever on them not to use that exact wording.
So doesn't DC have the trademark on super?
I don't know if they do. They can pretend they do. It doesn't matter.
All that is just pretend.
It does. Well, this movie is off. Anyway, I think I would rather read a 90s X-Men comic than watch this, which is saying something. If you read X-Men comics in the 90s, there's like 9,000 titles, and it's like X everything, and everybody's extreme and to the max, and wears jackets with big collars and trench coats and stuff. That was the X-Men in the 90s. I digress.
Yes.
I have my note that says not seeing the drawback. They talk about the super serum that turns you into a vampire. They have an antidote so you can daywalk. He's got this sample, but he doesn't know how much of the stuff to give himself for it to be effective, which seems kind of stupid because everybody else just run around jabbing needles in people. He's worried about dosage because he's a nerd. And so they go get her friend, Dr. Lee Fong. And,
well, also, they took a cab there, and it looked like Thor was driving in there. Speaking of Marvel.
Oh, shit. Yeah, there's Thor, and the big guest star in this movie is that they ran past a closed Blockbuster video.
Oh, okay, so before they do Dr. Fong, or Lee, or whatever, I don't know who the hell it was.
Dr. Lee Fong.
So, like, the bad vampire guy that's running around.
Yep.
He decides to be a vampire, like, in the traditional sense. Sorry for yawning. Spoiler alert, I fell asleep during this movie, so it's just bringing back sleepy memories.
Oh, yeah, okay, so one of the vampires get the three guys at the beginning. One gets caught. He goes back. They kill him.
Yeah.
The other one is our hero, Victor, who's running around with the dead-eyed woman. And then the third guy is kind of just a California douchebag.
And
he decides he's digging the vampire thing, but he just doesn't want to go back and work for the man. So he just starts eating people, or draining people, I shouldn't say. Eating is more of a zombie thing. So he shows up at a buddy's house for where did I put this note on this little gem? That wild, wild party where they hand around a bowl of popcorn. And they're all like...
So he just shows up at like a party, right?
The guy, it's a party. Apparently he knows the guy a little bit. Because he's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. Come on in. And like everybody's just sitting there in their like business casual attire. And they're like, oh, here's a bowl of popcorn. And he's like, he starts to take some and when they're not looking, he puts it back in the bowl. And it's like, ooh.
Well, And if you listen to the sound, you would imagine that people are having rousing conversations and that people is loud and talking and it sounds like music and stuff, but all you see are just people in a circle sitting in a chair in a living room in a house.
Right. second. Let's try.
And this is where it gets me. It's like the sound guy had to even get a little creative here. And they were kind of stretching the beyond the boundaries of belief for this scene. There's another scene, too, that stuck out as well.
Here's a little bit of the audio from that scene. Ignore the crackles and pops.
It's like they're piping in crowd noise into a wrestling arena.
Everybody's just sitting there. No one's talking. And what you're hearing does not match the screen. He reaches for some popcorn. He's a vampire. He hands it to his attractive neighbor. He looks at her for like half of a second. And she's like, okay, let's go to the bathroom and have sex.
Yeah.
Now, what I don't know, because they didn't bother to explain, is maybe he's got a little bit of the vampire shine going.
That's why I thought originally the good guy used it on Blando Lady, but...
No, she's just a ditz.
But see, that's how confusing this movie is.
I think she's just... And this... Now, evil vampire... The guy who's embracing the vampire-ness, I think he used a little vampire shine on this girl, because he seriously hands the popcorn, winks at her, and then she's like, let's go to the bathroom and do it. And so that happens. Let's see. And that little bongo noise that you hear is music. And that's about as raucous as the music gets in this movie. Yet they list like 6 songs. So I'm not sure if it was the tape transfer or if it was lost in post or what.
But it was terrible.
Yeah, that bongo music is about as exciting as it gets. Let's see. So they go in the bathroom, yada, yada, yada. There's the menacing music. Anyway, he, like, starts to make out with her. He bites her. They spray the ketchup blood on the mirror. And when I say ketchup blood, I mean it's, like, bright red. It's, like, orange.
Yeah, but the most important part of the scene is that there was a nice little boob shot, and that was about it.
Yeah, he kind of, like, it's weird because it's, like, just one boob, which is weird for a movie, I think, sometimes. Anyway. Okay, now, as I'm pulling the tape up here, this brings me to my next point of contention. Did Li Fong invent a self-aware computer? Because I don't remember computers being that brilliant at this time frame. It's kind of the old, like, 80s supercomputer thing, like Weird Science rule, like where he goes away for a couple hours, comes back, puts in a 5.5-inch floppy disk, and magically the computer can answer any question about vampires.
Oh, God. Dr. Ree, this is the most stereotypical...
And we'll get you a little taste.
I'll say stereotypical. Like, these days, people will say that's racist, but it's not racist. It's just stereotypical goofy.
I would say it was stereotypical, but even it's half a step better than Bugs Bunny with buck teeth in a little triangle hat.
Hey, I'd take that.
So, Dr. Li Fong, who is Korean, by the way, they did actually give him a Korean flag. Just to emphasize the fact, it looked like bulk of his, like, he loaned the shirt to the good vampire guy, and it's got a big Korean flag on it.
My hope even with him is that I thought he looked more Latino than he did Asian.
He looked more Caucasian than I thought.
I also then for a second thought he looked like John Doe, the male porn star, but...
But is Lee actually Asian, or is he just a dark-haired guy?
I couldn't tell behind the glasses.
And so he goes with the traditional, I'm going to leave every other word out of what I say. Like,
I'm going to room.
It's like, you better take her bed. I'll be back. I go computer. It learn. You know, it's like, ugh.
And actually, you find out that's how he types questions into the fucking computer, too, and it responds.
What kill vampire
best way? Bloop 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 blorp.
We're stopping, like, both he and the computer stop short of saying, like, most honorable computer, what is answer for kill vampire? I mean, that's about, it's almost there, you know. He's the Charlie Chan in this movie. Have you ever seen an old Charlie Chan detective movie?
Oh, you know. Although Charlie Chan was a white guy who dressed up as an
Asian. I'm not disputing that fact. I'm just saying it's kind of like if there's a thing called Asian face.
Is that like bitch face?
No, that's like blackface. But I think Charlie Chan, the guy who played Charlie Chan, would be Asian face.
That's like the guy who played the Asian master trainer. I forgot his name in Remo Williams.
Oh God! Did you just reference Remo Williams?
Yeah, you don't like Remo. You don't like Remo Williams?
I haven't. I just remember that freaking. It was always on the shelf at the video store when I was a kid. It was never checked out.
Oh, you got to see that.
Apparently, at your video store, it was checked out.
Chun. Joel Grey played Chun.
Oh, Remo Williams. Was there a subtitle to that movie?
The adventure begins.
And did they ever make any more Remo Williams movies?
No. You know why? All right. I'd rather talk about Remo Williams in this piece of shit movie.
All right. Let's start. Remo Williams trivia hour.
No, right. It was actually from a series of books.
Okay.
So it was a series of books of Remo Williams. So it was like they used this movie to and pulled one of the more popular,
was Remo Williams like a young adult book or like?
No, it's like one of those old guy like spy adventure. It's like they took some random New York cop, and they trained him to be like a master in the martial arts and the black magic. And he does stuff. Yeah, no, it gets better. He does stuff for the United States government in terms of spy stuff. He's almost like an American James Bond. And his boss in this movie is Wilford Brimley.
All right, that's a plus.
And finally, here, this is why, like, you should see this movie. Oh, come on.
Oh, he's going for the audio clip.
Ah, come on.
Uh-oh, I heard it.
Yes! Give me one more chorus. Bring it home, boys. Ooh. Oh yeah. Yes. Oh. All right, I'll stop.
All right. So it had kick-ass music.
Yeah. All right.
So, but then I have a further question. So, Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins and Ends, apparently with that movie. There was a series of books, and this was a thought, we're going to start this movie franchise, and this will be the first one, and we're going to make all these other Remo Williams movies.
Starring Fred Ward.
Fred Ward.
Yeah.
Fred Ward?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Now I'm going to have to watch Remo Williams.
Yeah. I mean, get it on YouTube. There's the full movie's available.
Color me shocked.
Oh man! Oh, and Kate Mulgrew is in it. So, are you Star Trek fans and Orange Is the New Black fans?
So I do remember the cover. It's like he like swinging off the Statue of Liberty with just like
damn Skippy he is.
Oh my god! Is that what they parodied on Last Action Hero's cover?
Maybe.
I think they did.
Oh yeah.
I vividly remember that box being on the shelf at Videorama every single time I went in, and I never got it.
So just remember, do not fast forward Project Vampire, but if you have a choice between this and Remo Williams, do Remo Williams.
Watch Remo Williams. I can tell you it already sounds more exciting. The music...
It's pretty cool.
The music itself is already better than this entire movie. So
and back, bringing it back home, the Joel Grey character is probably the most like Asian faced character on the planet. Even worse than the bad guy in Kickboxer, who was they tried to make him look Asian faced, but he just looked like a melted down doll face.
God.
Yeah, Kickboxer, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Where yep. It's like Thai boxing. It's not Bloodsport, it's Kickboxer.
No, don't get this too confused. Bloodsport's way better.
Yeah. Kickboxer, he fights a dude that's bald with a big braid and prosthetic slant eyes.
Oh my God.
Was a stuntman. And actually, now that you got me on a roll, Jean-Claude Van Damme and that guy actually like trained together and broke into Hollywood together. So they are both stunt guys. But
that's how he got it, yeah.
Yeah, so Jean-Claude Van Damme got his buddy to be the bad guy in this Thai movie with, like, a prosthetic Thai face on him. So
now, Kickboxer, which I have seen multiple times, along with Bloodsport. I went through a Van Damme phase as a young man.
Oh, you Van Damme'd. I haven't Van Damme'd yet.
I Van Damme'd.
Well, that's not true. I actually saw the sequel to Cyborg, so.
They were... I haven't seen the
yes.
Now, when I was a young man, the Van Damme action movies were some of the... Those were, like, the first radar movies that my dad didn't give two craps if I wanted them from the video store. So, I rented Bloodsport God knows how many times. And after that, any Van Damme movie or any action cop movie was pretty much, you know, cleared. So, I watched Bloodsport. I watch Kickboxer. There's another one I forget. There's Cyborg. I even watch Black Eagle, in which Van Damme's the bad guy. And it's in it for like 2 minutes, which is not a very good movie. So there's Black Eagle, Kickboxer, and then as you progress, you had your other movies come out. But by far, my favorite Van Damme, like Nowhere to Run and Lockdown, not Lock Up. Because Lock Up was Stallone, but there's a prison movie with Van Damme. Was it Double Team? Is that the name of the movie? Oh, Double Trouble or something, where he has a twin. The whole run. I've seen almost every Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, except for JCVD, which I heard is pretty good.
Mm. I started watching. The opening scene is worth it. But I didn't watch it past that, but it was pretty cool. I hear the opening, like, it's a single shot that takes to an action scene, and it's pretty good.
But anyway, again, notice how we keep avoiding them.
Because this movie sucks.
This movie sucks, but here's Dr. Lee Fong. Just let's get a taste of him. So here you go. I'll back it up if I need to.
People here Klaus working with unusual blood virus. Europe. Nobody believe his theory of eternal life. Unlimited power. Hey, crackpots. Yeah. We'll believe it. You mean tell me you're a vampire too?
Not quite.
And Sandra? Early stages. I think you better leave.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
No. Okay.
There. See how quickly he agreed?
Yeah.
On serious note, must go to university lab. We'll have computer run test on blood and antidote.
Isn't it a little late?
Best time play with computer is wee hours.
Is that the title of the episode?
I think so.
Best time to play with computer is wee hours.
Best time to play with computer is wee hours. Yes, there's your title, everybody. And so on and so forth. There's a couple spots later in the movie where he actually speaks in full complete sentences because he's obviously very American. Not that he wouldn't be with an accent, but he's got Hollywood Chinese/Korean accent going. But he slips out of it a couple times. It's neither here nor there. So he's like, I think you should leave. And he's like, it's okay. Okay. That is about the amount of level of convincing people need in this movie. So let's see what else we got there. Super Serum, blah blah blah. Popcorn, we talked about the party guy. So eventually they catch the party vampire.
Yeah.
And come back with us, because you know where Victor is. And they really, the guy's real keen on finding Victor, because he thinks he's so great. Yeah. And so the guy's like, well, I can write him a note. And to give you an indication what time frame this is, the guy has a messaging service. So, no cell phones back now. So, it is, you know, accurate.
Yeah.
But he called, but despite the fact he's been turned into a vampire and is running around trying to, like, save the world, he's like, hang on a second, I gotta check my messages. It'd be like, if you did a today's movie, it'd be like, okay, come on, Captain America, let's go save the world. He's like, hang on, I gotta send this text.
I gotta go drop a turd in the toilet first. Give me a second.
But he's like, they're like, okay, let's go investigate the vampire serum. And he's like, hang on, just 1 second. And he calls, he's like, yeah, do you have any messages for Victor? And so, and indeed they do. And the weird thing is, not only is it not like a voicemail, you could have an answering service. I get that. I understand how that works. The guy wrote him a note. And so basically he calls, says, there are messages for me. They're like, yeah, come pick up this piece of paper. So they go, and the guy picks up the piece of paper, and it's like, I'm at this hotel. And he's like, I trust him. Let's go find him. And meanwhile, he is out on patrol with Judas Priest guy. Rob Halford knockoff. So he and Rob Halford are hanging out at night, and he's like, isn't this great? I love being a vampire, which makes you wonder why he ran in the first place. He's like, I love it. It's great. And the guy's like, yeah. He's like, I didn't like life before, but this is great. This is the life. And they're drinking blood out of a flask and all this business.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, these two women show up and they're getting ready to go to a club. And they're like, hey, ladies, you want to... Where are you going? They're like, oh, we're going to the rock club. And they're like, isn't that funny? That's where we're going. Why don't you hop in? We'll give you a ride. And they're like, I don't know. And he's like, well, me and my friend got the best. And he like motions, he's got cocaine. He's like, we got the best cocaine. And the other girl's like, are you crazy? Let's go. And so they hop in the car, and then next scene, they're in the hotel room dead. Lesson to be learned, do not just take a ride with someone because they say they have good cocaine. And also, another warning sign is that as they pull away, if they're like, you guys have made the best choice the rest of your lives, yeah, that's usually a sign they're probably going to kill you.
Yeah, I'd jump out of the car.
So, but the girls just laugh. And there was, which I should mention this, there is one special defect in this movie. The head vampire apparently just goes in and gets sealed in little rings of syringes, and then like has vampire lightning orgasm something or other.
Yeah,
and
that never made any sense.
And he apparently that's how he powers up the blood. So how do you kill vampire? Okay, so one of the questions Fong puts in the computer is, how do you kill vampire? How do you kill vampire? Not a vampire, vampire.
Yes, because it is the most racist computer on the planet.
And it says, by artificial or natural means. Natural. Exposure to sunlight. Now, keep in mind, his computer didn't do this before. He's running this all off a 5.5-inch floppy disk. He went to the university to research on their mainframe, and he loaded in all of literature's references to vampires into the computer, and somehow, despite storage limitations... Got it on a 5.5-inch floppy disk, which it would take like 6 of them to run Wheel of Fortune. You know, like on.
That 8-bit Vanna. Tasty.
Or not 8-bit, it's probably like 4. And then, or that castle game that was just cursor stuff. Anyway.
Did we blow over the fact that while Fong was doing. No, we're getting that. Fong was pressing buttons on the keyboard while bland guy vampire hero was pushing buttons on bland lady.
Yeah, they like he goes. They're like sleeping in the next room, and then
they somehow start like
they start kind of making out, and then like it instant like close off.
Yeah, And for like, it was the most uninspired love scene I've ever seen. It was not.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, you're great, you're great, okay. And they kind of have the kind of a sex scene, and then that moves on. And then like he goes out, talks to Lee Fong, and he goes back in the room, and she's all disfigured and halfway vampire. She's like, oh no, I'm halfway vampire. And he's like, shh, it'll be all right. And then she's fine, because that's all the convincing it takes. And then they go pop by the hospital. She wrangles out a blood bag for him to share. And then you got Beardo Blando shows up at Lee Fong's. And he's like, hey, Lee Fong, I know you're friends with that bland nurse that I'm into for some reason. can you, you know, get me the, you know, where are they? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, now, Lee, don't be a jerk. I've helped you out a lot. And then he hits him with the freaking vampire virus. Yeah. So he's apparently in on it, but I don't get why he has to hit him with the vampire virus.
Well, also, she freaks out, too, because somehow lovemaking turned her into a vampire.
Oh, no, they dosed her. When they were running away from the bad guys, they ran up and stuck a...
I missed that point. I must have been sleeping during that part.
You might have done... Okay, so early on in the movie, we glossed right over this. They're running from the bad guys. Eye patch Igor, who isn't a vampire, kind of gets up to the window, and she's like, "Yeah, go away!" And he hits her with the needle.
All right.
And he doses her, and she slowly turns into a vampire.
All
right. So everybody's being turned into a vampire. Conveniently, the only thing in this movie that gives you exposition is the stupid computer.
And poor English.
And poor English and the stupid computer. And what is vampire's most powerful strength? Psychic spell. Destroy vampire, destroy the spell. Okay, kill the head vampire, everybody's fine. There you go. That's their logic for this, despite there being magic syringes and antidotes and stuff. Oh, wait a minute. While we're here, let's check in on our boys in the car. Here we go. Sorry about that. This is the cool vampire and Rob Halford vampire. We already talked about the scene, but it's here, so let's listen to it.
This is the life, isn't it? Just cruising for gorgeous chicks, it doesn't get any better than this. Huh? It's to eternity, huh? I'll see you there.
This is the fucking life. As long as you don't try nothing funny.
Me? I'm the life of this party. Why would I want to leave?
You'd better be right about Vic coming to me.
Of course I'm right. Vic's a born sucker.
Sucker,
you know,
get it?
I used to be human once, but I never got along with nobody. This is better.
Whoa. What have we here?
Okay, here come the two girls.
Excuse me. Where are you going, you beautiful, adorable creatures, you?
Sidewind Cafe.
Really? What a coincidence. We're going to the same place. Why don't you hop in back? We'll give you a lift.
Well, I don't know. I think we'll just walk, thank you.
Honey, we've got the best in town.
Are you kidding? Let's go.
Wait for it. They got in the car.
You won't regret this, girls. Not for the rest of your lives.
Anyway, there you go. A little bit of that. So, anyway, everything's turning. Lee Fong's been captured. Again, you get a scene of the head vampire and his girlfriend talking about great things were, and the world's going to be a better place and no more wars. And again, really making a strong case for the vampire. So again, confliction. They go to the hotel, they go find his friend who's double crossing them. They find the dead women. There's a further note that says, go find us on the beach. They pick up some Catholic accoutrements from a little Mexican family walking down the street. And it turns out that because, again, Rob Halford knockoff is kind of a jerk, any cross will work on him, and he starts smoking and runs into the water. They attack a couple on the beach who are just like having a little Moonlight Walk. And this blonde guy comes out of nowhere and, like, captures the girl who was walking on the beach. They kill the other guy. And, oh, God, the bike scene.
Yep.
So, the bad guys take a car. Our hero goes and snatches a bike. And then we got Pee-wee's Big Adventure going.
Pretty much.
And then, so, he tries to get away. The cops try to arrest him because they think he's this murderer. And he's not. He goes back to Lee Fong's. He goes to the computer. The computer's like, ask me any question you want. And it turns out Lee stashed the antidote virus stuff in the cookie jar. Again, with a little Asian man, which the cookie jar itself is kind of actually racist. Not just a stereotype. So Lee Fong has Asian racist cookie jars. And so he gets the antidote out. And he's like, how much is correct dosage for... And he has to type it in, like...
like in English.
He's typing in butchered stereotypical Asian speak, which is like, how much correct dosage? And it tells him, and he's like, okay, but it's only good for 2.5 hours, because Lee figured this all out in like 3 hours at the lab.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, it's only good for 2 hours. So he makes a few handfuls of it up, like a few syringes of the 2 hour super juice, to so that he can walk in the sun and everything. And then without any real description of how he comes up with the idea, he makes these poison syringes.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, like, it's garlic juice or, you know, there's nothing. They didn't even try. It just says poison. And he's like, boy, I hope I don't get this mixed up. And he doesn't. Just let me save you that drama. So, and then meanwhile, back at the study there... before he leaves to take that bag, Rob Halford finds him, comes in, hits him with the poison, Rob Halford's dead. Back at the Project Alpha, which we have not mentioned yet, is the name for the blood syringes they're sending out.
Should have just called it, like, generic Project.
You know, it's MacGuffin. Project MacGuffin. And so they are going to ship it out worldwide and create all these vampires in power and slowly spread it around. Usual deal for vampires. So they're in there working sales and doing a lot of boring stuff. And it's a mixture of people in lab coats and a butler who goes and gets the syringes after the guy makes them and, like, puts them on a silver tray and walks them around, and they hand-pack each one. You want to talk about, like, gentle handling. They're, like, hand-packing these things, just gentle as can be. So he goes, he gets his bag, he packs it with the requisite vampire-killing stuff, syringes of poison, his antidote stuff, garlic, a cross, a jar of holy water, like a really small jar of holy water, which I guess he was intending to use sparingly. He then a needless scene of him stealing a guy's motorbike and driving for a long time. But he goes to the secret warehouse castle. He breaks in because at this point they've kidnapped Sandra. They've got Lee Fong. He goes and checks on Lee and finds out he's partially vampire. And same thing with Sandra. He already knew she was partially vampire. Here comes Blando Beardo. He's like, oh, it's your Paul, Victor. And it's like, yeah, you're that guy she fell in love with in about 4 seconds. So Dr. Harassment then punches... Victor just stands there and looks at him, and Dr. Harassment just punches him in the face. And then he gets up and promptly, like, punches him once in the stomach, and the guy falls back behind the wall, and it's like, that's the end. One punch to the stomach. We'll assume vampire strength was not delivered in that way. Lee Fong, he gives them all a dose of the daytime stuff because it's almost daytime. Meanwhile, head vampire has been distracted by all the goings on, and he doesn't take his dosage of antidote, which is
good. He runs off to try to go, like,
He wants to talk to Victor. He shows up. Victor whips out the cross and is like, yeah, take this. And he's like, are you kidding me? It doesn't work on me. I'm not an idiot. He's like, basically, he's like, it only works on, like, low-level idiot vampires, so it doesn't work on me. So he just moves that. And they go back to that well again later. The main vampire's girlfriend is like, they give her the holy water and she's like pouring on her hand. She's like, you idiots, it doesn't work. And they stab her with a knife and then hit her with the poison. So I mean, it's like, okay, well, does this work?
Yeah.
And apparently, once you have the antidote, you're a little more vulnerable, I guess.
You're a little more human.
You're a little more human, so you can just get stabbed with a knife, which is just, they're like, she's like, ha, you idiots, I took the antidote. This isn't going to work on me. And then they just stab her and then poison her, and she's dead. Meanwhile, it doesn't work on King Vampire Guy. They knock out a thing in the window, a little bit of sun hits him, he runs away. They're trying to, like, they're like, maybe we can lure him into the sun. And anyway, so, and you know what? They do. He's going to put his antidote in. Good guy vampire grabs him, drags him into the sun, throws him in there. Meanwhile, all the technicians apparently either die or turn back into humans. I'm not entirely sure which. That leaves Eyepatch Guy to try to answer the phones. He steals a couple boxes and runs off down the street of the syringes. So I don't know if they were planning on making a sequel.
Here's the thing that... All right, so... They show him running across the tracks, running away, right?
Yeah.
All right, and then you, and then they're like, "Oh, everybody's free and alive. That is good, right?" So it's Lee, the lady, and the guy, and they're in the sun. Apparently, they're okay or something.
Well, the head vampire died, and they made a point of showing that. So I'm assuming since they weren't full tilt yet, that it all wore off because the head guy died, and he was like the key to making it all work. So, following movie vampire logic, if you kill the head vampire, everybody else who was a vampire turns back to normal. A la Lost Boys kind of deal.
So they start walking off in the sunset. And again, this is where it gets me, right? A, like, the guy makes his escape. B, the people are like, oh, it's all over, let's walk away, right? All right, it's a building on the train tracks, right? It is... The way the camera is set up, you could pan between the building and the train tracks. But in the background, what you hear is what sounds like an onslaught of fucking police vehicles and radio noises and all this other shit. But you don't see them anywhere. You don't see the cops anywhere. You don't see any of the actors acknowledge the fact that there could be cops in the background. You don't see, I don't know, say the police running out and saying, freeze, you know, you got to talk to us.
They literally walk off into the sunrise, and they leave Lee Fong behind for a minute, and they're like, hey, Lee, come on. And then they seriously, one of them's like skipping down the tracks.
It was Lee. And all the while, yeah, the cops are there, and they're just gingerly walking away.
They show no police. And you hear the radios like they're right there. And there goes Igor across the railroad tracks. And then they show you the burnt remains of Dracula, basically. And she's like making out with him again, and Lee's all awkward to stand there.
Let's go home.
Yeah! Let's go home. She's known him for like a day.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mention the fucking helicopter that was flying around too.
Apparently, all you have to do is add the sound effects over, so we can make a hell of a movie.
Now, if a bunch of shit's going down and you see people leaving the premises as a police officer, wouldn't you want to just, like, I don't know, stop them and talk to them?
They're like total. They're like buttercream ganging it down the railroad tracks, like hand over shoulders, like, let's go, guys. Everything's great. You want to get some breakfast? You know, and the end. Now, did you watch all?
Yes, you're goddamn right. I did. You don't even have to ask. That's the whole reason why. All right, this is the reason why nobody should fast forward. All right.
Okay. Here's the kicker. Yeah. Now, when you watch this movie, it's tempting. Sometimes we don't really. I've never explained that you should just let it run through the FBI warning at the beginning of the movie, and then sometimes if it's a VHS tape, especially, we'll watch the previews as we've done before on here. Well, there's no previews on this tape. But there is a little card that comes up for just a second that says, stay tuned after this movie for trailers or preview or something.
Oh, I didn't even see the card. I just let it run at the end.
it's barely on the screen for a second. So, like, if you're waiting for the warning to come, and there's a lot of blank lead-in on this tape, because I just started the tape, and there's a lot of just blank space, and then the movie starts. But somewhere in there, they sneak a little card in that says, hey, there's a preview. There are previews at the end of this movie. And so I knew to wait for it. But, excuse me, there is a trailer at the end of this movie. And it is for a film called Psycho Sisters.
Yay!
Which ultimately looks like a much better movie than this.
Well, it's a trailer that had nudity included.
Which is a mark of a high-class film.
Speaking of mark of a high-class film, they also advertised a former Playboy bunny in it as well.
I imagine that is who the nude one was.
The other one was in other movies too, though.
Well, they made a point of, like, here's Jane Smith. She was in the Howard Stern movie.
Yeah, she was in Private Parts.
she was phone answerer number 6 in Private Parts. You know, and it's about these girls who apparently, from what I gather, Teresa Lynn, Howard Stern's Private Parts, doesn't say much else. These girls who are, like, nice girls, but then it's kind of a, what's that movie where the girl gets revenge? It's really disturbing.
I Spit on Your Grave?
There you go. Wow. Nice pull.
I'm on top of it, homie. I got Rima Williams in my pocket, too.
So
I'm on fire!
It's kind of the nice girls get attacked by brutal dudes and raped and stuff, and then they go crazy and come back and get revenge. But in this case, the bad stuff happens to them. They can't get away from it. They kill a bunch of guys. They go to jail. Apparently, they get back out. They just start killing young men. Therefore, they're the Psycho Sisters. And then I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of this clip, because there's this one thing I cannot figure out for the life of me at the beginning of this. Here we go. So, a little bit of music at the end here. Just fast forward. 1992. I was right. Okay. Also available in home video. Let's take a listen.
The Psycho Sisters. Sure.
Right.
They had everything going for them. Loving parents. Proper education.
Wizard needs food.
Okay.
Wizard needs food. It sounded like the Gauntlet voice.
It is a little bit of the Gauntlet. Now, the other featured performer in it was an Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And then it follows with a clip of a woman coming in a leather, like, swimsuit number.
Mm-hmm.
With a shotgun and says, "Let her go, you bitch." Which I cannot fathom has anything to do with the rest of this movie. She's neither one of the stars, nor do they mention where she came from, but she's wearing this outfit that's interesting. Let's continue.
Hairy relationships.
That's disgusting. Stop bothering us.
Yeah. Bad stuff. Wait for it.
Now they are totally insane.
I think if you consider what this murderer does to these unfortunate young people, it is somewhat insane.
Oh, yeah, make it hurt, bitch.
Fucking Jeffrey, I'm not gonna kill you.
Where's Jackie? She's upstairs. Time.
Who the fuck you doing, bitch?
Nahan
and
Bob!
Whoever this motherfucker is, I shot him! They want him now!
There's some corrupt police, lots of stabbings with pointy objects. A lot of gore. Not gore. I use the term gore mostly. Nudity. Anyway, you get a bonus trailer at the end of this movie. And a reason you shouldn't fast forward, stay through the credits of some movies, especially bad ones, because they hide them. For whatever reason, they put the trailers at the end of it. It seems counterintuitive to me. But anywho, Psycho Sisters looks like the better picture.
Yeah, and then did you see what came after that?
Oh, yeah, you can order a catalog.
Yes!
You can order a catalog of their other films, because apparently they make enough of this shit to have a catalog. Let's just fast forward a little bit. I can't remember the name of this company. It's
Alternative Cinema. B in the know.
B in the know.
As in the letter B.
Psycho Sisters. And then it says, dun dun dun. B, in quotes, in the know. EI in the, well, their mascot is a B, I believe. So I guess. But then when that, wouldn't that be B-E-E? I don't know. Boy, that's just talk. Now that you point out that B, that's going to haunt me. Oh. B.
B. B. Is in the B.
B.
Alternative cinema. B in the know.
Not B-E-E.
The letter B.
Not B-E. The letter B in quotes.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Anyway, Psycho Sisters looks like a promising venture. I may see if Trader's Village has it. Well, I'll say this. The one Trader's Village vendor that we went to, one of them we went to, had walls of VHS tapes. And to that man's credit, they were alphabetized.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Correct. And not like half-assed alphabetized. They were correctly alphabetized.
I felt bad putting tapes back that were not in order. That's how awesome it was.
Seriously, they were like a stack of tapes. Like if you took like two of your support beams inside your wall, like your studs, and then you stack tapes in between them all the way up, and that was like your insulation. That's kind of how these tapes were. So if you took one out of the middle, you'd have to lift up like 1,000 tapes just to get it back in there. I admire it. I'll say that. But it'll make it a lot easier to find Psycho Sisters. I'll say that.
Indeed. So
there you go.
So, okay, so with the catalog and with the trailer that actually had nudity in it, this kind of fell into my little theory about this whole thing. I think this production company, whoever did this, and with all this stuff, it looked like it was a wannabe Full Moon feature type corporation thingy.
That is true. This would kind of be the heyday of some of the Full Moon feature stuff.
And like even like the synths and the sounds and the slow moving action. It all was like this. I thought this was a Full Moon movie until I looked it up on IMDb. I thought it was like this is Charles Band, especially since there was nudity thrown in, because he's like infamous for like just having that one scene. Like pretty much every movie of that type in the early 90s,
he'll throw some boobs in and call it.
Yeah, that's what they do in this movie.
I think Charles Band puts together a little bit more. His movies are paced way better.
Well, I think it's got way more style. Like,
it's got a style. You know, it's a Charles Band movie. The production values are better, not a lot, but his film stock is better. His acting, his actors, while not great actors, are better than these.
Yeah,
and he's got freaking talking psycho puppets and stuff. So.
Well, he's also pigeonholed with that too. So
we should also note, at said Trader's Village,
yes,
you could. What was it? Was
Blood
from
Dolls.
Blood Dolls. You can pick up the pimp Blood Doll for $10, and I was tempted to do it. I didn't.
Life size. It was actual size. Like
it was, and it would have been. I would have
foot and a half tall, maybe something like that.
It would have been kind of creepy to have that thing in the other room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, with this trailer for this other movie and then a catalog for merchandise, this is like, man, this is all just, like...
If this opens a door to other... Like, Psycho Sisters looks promising. I'll say that. And now, I wish I could order that catalog. God knows it doesn't exist anymore, but I might look and see if this company still exists.
Yeah, I mean... You got to be in the know.
So, be in quotes. I am going to look up and see if this company exists. I bet it does.
Looking up right now.
All right. Let's do it live.
Alternative Cinema.
Do they have a catalog? Please tell me. Maybe you should Google be in the know.
I did.
Yeah.
Video Violence Deluxe VHS Release Party.
Oh.
That was 2013, though.
I'm surprised. If they indeed were in business in 2013...
That's a... Alright. Let me do a catalog.
I wonder, God, you think that catalog is floating around somewhere online that might sell it to us or trade us?
All right, here you go. Alternative cinema catalog. Download online catalog.
Oh, shit.
2011. Get the largest cult horror exploitation special exploitation DVD print. I don't know if it's the same company, though, but they have online. It's all online now, though. Your cult movie destination.
I wonder if they just went into the business of doing, because that's a big thing now, is you go find those old cult movies, throw them on a disc with a shitty burn, and call
them. No, they actually get the actual movies. It's not that bad. Escape from the Bronx. 1990, The Bronx Wars.
Is this movie?
Boris Koloff and Black Sabbath. Cellar Dweller, The Catacombs, Dog Shoulders, Deranged.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. There are companies that get the old movies, clean them up, try to restore them, and then sell them at a little bit higher price. And there's people who get the rights to these movies, produce them, professionally produce them, but they're awful transfers. And
Pit Stop, The New Barbarians, Spasmo, wow.
Yeah.
Sugar Hill, starring...
Oh, I don't know who that is. Maybe they're doing a licensing run with those things. That might be one way for that company to stay in business. I would...
Trophy Heads.
I would...
directed by Charles Band. Charles Band. Wait, hold on. Trophy Heads. In present day, and our heroines, real-life screen queens, Darcy DeMoss, Nana Quigley, Brinky Stevens, Michelle Barr, Jacqueline Lovell, and Denise Duff, who starred in those infamous movies back in the 80s and 90s, have gone on with their lives since those days. Some still acting or a new business of their own.
Uh-oh.
What none of them suspect is that somewhere down in the basement of an old house, an obsessed fan, Max, sits in the dark watching clips from these movies over and over. His obsession growing into a diabolical plan. One by one, with his mother's help, he begins to collect them, transporting the makeshift prison he set up in his basement. The Scream Queens have no idea what's going on until they find themselves forced to reenact movie scenes from their horror heyday. A nightmarish process since Mac remembers every line and gesture, and they haven't watched them in years. And they definitely don't remember the new and terrible outcome of the scenes.
Oh, all right.
Full Moon Pictures came out in 2014. Anyway, so that thank you, Vampire Project, for helping us find this.
There's a rabbit hole for us. Now, if you want to go find well-restored, grindhousey exploitation, weird horror cinema stuff, I would recommend two companies. I would recommend you check out Severin Films. It's Severin. And Vinegar Syndrome. They are both produce quality Blu-ray restorations, I would say, of old campy horror movies and other crazy stuff and weird things. I actually had purchased one of their DVDs. It is of a fine film called Madman from the 80s, about a madman with an axe who kills people. And I saw it late at night on IFC or somewhere, and they got it. They cleaned it up. They put a bunch of extras. They got the people who were in it and did commentaries and things, and they put out a really nice Blu-ray version of it. So Vinegar Syndrome and Severin Films. Check them both out. Those are both good places to get good stuff.
Yeah.
I got to plug them. I'm sure that the breadth and reach of our podcast is, valued. So,
well, it is. Well, those votes we're getting on the feature presentation.
It is surprising. Those are rolling in faster than one would think.
So go there, everybody, and vote.
And let's see here.
What? Are we done?
I think we might be. Bed and I stumble to the kitchen, stumble in the bathroom, stumble to the
living room, stumble out the door and pass my car. Don't fast forward this movie.
Yeah, especially because of previews
and boobs.
Yep.
Gonzo guys at Twitter.
Vote in. We're gonna keep pestering you with polls, so keep voting. GonzoGuys.com, Facebook, Twitter. For the love of God, if you send us something that says couple duck alert, I'll send you a prize.
That's still there, and it's actually getting kind of moldy, so kind of like send it quick.
And it, I swear to God, it's a good prize. It's not just little plastic zombie people. So, couple duck alert. Send us any kind of message. Communicate with any fashion, I'll send it to you.
Except for smoke right. signals.
Yeah, it's something I have to know. Something I can see with my private message.
Via English, please.
Yes.
Alright.
Yes.
With that, don't fast forward.
Don't fast forward. Stumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Stumble in the bathroom. Stumble to the living room. Stumble out the door and pass my car. Stumble. Stumble into work and I stumble through the office. Stumble to the gym and I stumble through my workout. Stumble down the street into a bar. Stumble. Stumble through the bar. First lipstick, stumble past a girl with a big bowl of fish quick, stumble past three different kinds of bears. Stumble past the elevator, stumble past the elevator, stumble past the elevator, stumble past the elevator, stumble down the nasty flight of stairs. Walking in slow motion, walking in slow motion. Walking in slow motion, walking in slow motion. Tiny harmonica solo!